sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Woo! Just took a beautiful shot. A beautiful shot of some Saint-Rémy. Some Saint-Rémy. And ça fait du bien au cœur, ici. Ça fait très bien au cœur. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's get back to tradition. Got a pocket full of lint again, but it makes no difference to me. Falling out with my friends again, but it makes no difference to me. Goddamn, I'm hopeless. Oh, man, I'm hopeless. Got no gas in my tank again, but it makes no difference to me. Overdraft in my bank again, but it makes no difference to me. Goddamn, I'm hopeless. Lord knows I'm hopeless. I still pray. Hey, welcome, bienvenue to a midweek episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. And if you happen to be a francophone from the great country of Canada, a.k.a. Mr. Grandpapa B. I guess it would help if you're from Ontario, Quebec. That reference, that last reference won't make sense if you're not one from, my province. All right. Before we start the show, I want to remind listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, January 11, 2023. Winter storm expected. And this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I laugh every time I say my AKAs, because it's like I laugh every time I say my AKAs, because it feels because on the Old Testament version of Shut Up Podcast, I had a different kind of AKA, and my brain wants to switch to the old version, constantly wants to switch to the old version, and yeah, that's, if you hear me chuckle, that's kind of why, because my brain is fucking with me. second, if I sound a little, jipper or different, it's because I just took a shot of, I mentioned it already, of Saint-Rémy. Is that what it's called? Saint-Rémy? Shout out to my homies at the barbershop who put me on to this beverage, this fine beverage from VSOP brandy. Oh, it's brandy. I thought it was cognac. Oh, wait. Saint-Rémy brandy, the same as cognac? And the answer is, the brand of Saint-Rémy was created back in 1886. And as is cognac produced through a double distillation process and then aged in French oak barrels. However, Saint-Rémy brandy differs in the fact that the grapes are grown in a region other than cognac. Oh, wow. Today I learned. I did not know that. Yo, shout out to my homie Jay Little, man. That dude is very knowledgeable. very, and I mean very knowledgeable on expensive liquor. And while we drink, he, you know, I won't say entertain, but he like dropped some science about what you're drinking. And usually, you know, back in the days, kids, the key to alcohol, I realize this, the key to enjoying alcohol, for me, I guess just for me, if you're like in AA, you're a different story, but yeah, for me, it's good company. Being around good people, people you enjoy, it makes good company. It, you know, I'm not gonna elaborate on this, and learned that from my man Jay Little, but yeah, Saint Remy, the homies at the barbershop hooked me up when they found out it was my birthday. They said, "Oh, before you leave, just take a shot." You know, I always feel like blessed, not just blessed, but I always feel like VIP. When the folks, when the barbers are like, "Yo, close the blinds," and then they pull out the liquor from under the counter and they pour you some, and they share it with you. Yeah, I always feel like, you know, I'm one of the cool kids when they invite you to drink. So shout out to them. Real quick, I want to mention that toxic. I recognize I have a toxic relationship with food, but that's a longer version. That's a longer conversation. All I'm saying is my Uber Eats showed up before lunch, before this podcast. I'm very hungry. But luckily, the food that I ordered came with garlic bread. And I packed up on a lot of garlic bread. So this is kind of like, this podcast is like that moment before the conversation you have before your food shows up. And you're really fucking hungry. And but I'm okay. That's why I did that shot of Saint Remy, because it's to A, make me forget that I'm hungry, and B, you know, make me forget that I'm hungry, and B, it made me, I was reminiscing about my days in comedy, and what was his name again? Chris, what was that dude's last name? Chris, there's a B in there. Chris something. Chris. Ah, fuck, man. You know what's bad? I'm bad is I have to go on Facebook. I don't have Facebook anymore, but I have to go on social media to remember names of people I know. Chris, god damn it. What was that dude's name? You know what? This is bad, man. this is bad. Yo, shout out to all the bartenders, bar staff at the comedy clubs, especially the ones who, you know, I'm nervous as fuck, and they poured me some liquor, and they, the Chris that I'm talking about is we had this tradition. Every time I'd come to the club, I'd show up to the club, or before I got on stage to do my set, he'd pour me my favorite liquor, and that shit would feel good on the chest, and I was ready to face on the madness. And, anyways, I felt like doing that because it reminded me of this little tradition him and I, we had. I'm not gonna say all right, okay, what else is there? Okay, now we're gonna do something different on this part, on today's episode. Usually I go with deep personal thoughts. I don't know if they're deep, but personal thoughts, shit about me, and then go into random thoughts. But today I'm gonna go random and then end with personal thoughts. I'm still figuring out. I think the title of today's episode is going to be 043, something related to Wale and J. Cole. J. Cole's song, specifically. Wale has a song called The Pessimist, which features J. Cole. Yo, that was disgusting. My apologies. Yeah. I haven't earned the right to, like, make vulgar noise in your ears. Well, unless you've been down with me since episode one, since the manifesto episode. So, I think I've earned a right for a little rudeness. But yeah, focus. Yeah, Wale track, The Pessimist, which actually features J. Cole, and J. Cole's track, Love Yours. But we'll get to that. Yeah, so the deep thoughts will be evolving around, if you're reading the show notes, the deep thoughts is going to evolve around quote from Fight Club, Wale, The Pessimist, and J. Cole's most relatable track by J. Cole. So random thoughts first. Okay. Number one, let's go with, I'm feeling good. Yeah, quest for to find a new DJ, find a DJ. I'm not finding a new, oh my God, I'm not finding a DJ, but I don't know if I mentioned in the last episode, actually I quickly talked about this, but shout out to Red Octopus. So what's going on is I'm looking for something, a new sound, music, jingle, whatever you want to call it, to play at the as the introduction to the podcast. And the theme song, I'm going to keep it, but I'm going to play it at the end. And it's just to switch things up, just to make it a little different. And, you know, what the fuck? Why not, man? And plus, you know, I kind of like going on Fiverr and trying to find someone to help me out with some art. Now, I won't lie. Oh, actually, I'm actually not enjoying it. Yeah, actually, it took me a while before I found the graphic artist for to help me out with the logo for this podcast. And I feel like I got lucky. But there was a lot of procrastination before I went on to find and choose a graphic artist because, spoiler alert, I don't trust anything that I do. I don't trust my ability to do shit right, to pick the right people and whatnot. So there's a lot of procrastination going on. But as I'm on Fiverr, looking around, scrolling through all these creators, is that what I'm called? All these creators, all these DJs, I think they're DJs, who are willing or have, who post about how they're able to create a podcast intro, who offering their service to create a podcast intro. It had me thinking about, let me back up, hold on, okay. My bad, I forgot to say. The reason I shout out Red Octopus is because I was on Audio Jungle, and he created this beat that helped me narrow down what I'm trying to create. Now, initially, I bought a beat from this guy, and that's dope, and I'm realizing I don't think I'm going to use it. I might use it for, like, segments during the show, but it helped me, but I'm shouting him out because listening to something he created got me closer to something that I think, that I believe I want. Anyways, back to finding a DJ. I've been having this, I'm having this thought about how, it's interesting, is I was at a seminar today, but trust me, bear with me, right? I was at this career development for black people in my department. And the speaker was talking about how promoting yourself. And actually, it was more like, it felt more like a lecture, but that's a different story, right? But the one point she was making that I was thinking to is, she was just talking about how, yo, get yourself out there, man. You got to promote yourself. You can't wait for people to find you. You're the one who's got to be like in their face. And I was thinking about, while she was talking, I was thinking about how I'm going through Fiverr and looking for a DJ. And I won't lie, man, of course, the ones who are in my face are the ones who are getting my attention. Granted, all of them are making me be like, you know, worried that, worried about, okay, that's not my point. The point I'm trying to make is it had me thinking about how I go about promoting this podcast. And the reality is I'm really not promoting this podcast. I'm really not putting any effort. I'm not trying to put myself out there. I hate doing all that shit. But I am thinking about how these DJs that I'm looking for, or my graphic artists, how they believe in their product, how they believe they eat their own dog food. Okay, that's a bad expression, but it doesn't matter. They believe in their own shit, and how they're like, yo, fuck everyone else. You want my service. They're not aggressive and like that, but it's just, I love that I guess it's a reality that I'm refusing to accept. Well, here's the thing. I'm on a journey. Just again, this podcast is all about growth. This is just a journey. Well, who knows? I'm kind of hoping maybe by episode 1,000, I'll be Mr. Tony Robbins talking about get yourself off your ass. You know what I mean? You got to work for that shit. You got to put yourself out there. Maybe I'll be all Mr. Self-Confidence right now. But right now, I'm not that guy. I'm worried about the people who will connect to what I have to say because it's because there's a bit of depression in what I'm going. But yeah, getting back to, I am not a confident guy. I'm making a podcast that I don't even listen to. And I remember I was on this, Twitter account about podcasting. And they asked the question, what do you hope for your podcast this year? And everyone had grand goals to have a guest, to reach 2,000 listeners, to blah, 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 grand goal. And I'm humbly just thought to myself, I meant to write it, but I didn't. I just, because I'm, you know, I'm in the closet about podcasting, kind of. Anyway, I got 1 feet out, 1 feet in. Anyways, yeah. And my goal is to finally make a podcast that I actually enjoy listening. I don't want to be that guy who relies on other people's opinion to be, oh, B, your podcast is good. I don't want that. No. I need to feel it for myself. I need to see it for myself. And fuck it, man. I'm willing to die trying. Fuck it. Like, what the fuck do I have to lose? I am willing to die trying. Who knows? But yeah, one day make a podcast that I listen to it. I'm like, and I manage to enjoy it as much as I enjoy other people's podcast, my favorite podcast out there. So that's my goal. That's my goal. With all that said, I am still inspired by all these people who like believe in their shit and these DJs. But anyways, yeah. Anyway, so that's my quest for Shut Up Podcast at the moment is trying to find someone. I say DJ, but I could be a producer or. But someone to help me create an audio logo for my podcast. And yeah, that's the quest. That's the quest. So that's where I'm at, man. It just has me thinking. Getting yourself out there. You know, in a way, this podcast is kind of like me dating. Except I'm focusing more on who I am. You know, this was actually going to be a topic, but it might be a future topic. Because I picked up the book Dating for Dummies a very long time ago when I was into dating, when I was, you know, trying to find the right one. Have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Yeah, when I was on that journey. And no, actually, I was more on a journey to picking up bitches. That's what it was all about. This was in my less enlightened days where I, when I was less aware that of the humanity of human of women. And I picked up the book Dating for Dummies. And I'm laughing now, but I didn't get it at the time. How my biggest red flag for myself was the fact that I was confused at why this fucking book, chapter one, has an entire chapter on getting to know yourself. That was my biggest problem with the book. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this chapter? Why are we wasting our time? No, I want techniques. I want, what exactly do I need to do? Well, I need ingredients to Spanish fly. I'm not saying I was that bad, but I'm just saying it was amazing how I didn't understand the concept of relationship. To me, it was like an acquisition. It wasn't trying to find a partner, trying to find someone you can enjoy this thing we call life together with. It was never like that. It was just someone I could do something to. That's pretty much, I'll sum up my understanding of relationships in my younger days. But so this podcast, instead of focusing on my audience at the moment, I'm focusing on myself. I'm trying to get myself to a point where I'm like, okay, this is dope. And maybe I'll get to a point where I'm like, okay, this is who I want to be as my audience. But that's my journey, man. It's a long journey, but here we are. Yeah, man. Quest to find a DJ. All right, next item on the rundown sheet. Lynette Hardaway. I'm debating on using the word RIP. You know what? I'm not an asshole. I'm just going to say rest in peace. Whatever, because she was a character in our life. Now, you're probably wondering, who the fuck is Lynette Hardaway? Well, Diamond, a.k.a. Diamond. And you're like, what? B, show me a picture. No, not that Diamond. And no, not stripper Diamond. I'm talking about Diamond from Diamond and Silk. Now, if you don't know who Diamond and Silk is, consider yourself blessed. actually, I have no real hatred for these ladies, man. I mean, yeah, sure they were clown. Sure they were clowns for MAGA. Sure they street posted a lot of shit that I hated. But I don't actually hate these people. And granted, that's not a popular opinion among black folks. But yeah, so Lynette Hardaway, a.k.a. Diamond. I'm going to read this tweet by Bishop Talbert Swan. See, okay. I don't like dislike these ladies as much as I don't, the same way I don't dislike Bishop Talbert Swan. Now, that dude has posted shit that I like, and he's posted shit that I fucking hated. And, hold on a second. Rest in peace is trending on Twitter. What's that about? Oh, we're not talking about Diamond anymore? No, we're not? Okay. All right, back up, man. Man, I'm easily focused. I can't stay on Twitter for long because I get distracted. Yes. Okay. So Bishop Talbert Swan wrote, Lynette Hardaway, a.k.a. Diamond, from the MAGA Trump-supporting duo Diamond and Silk, died from, brace yourself, contracting what she called a hoax, better known as COVID-19. The irony is palpable. What does palpable mean? Sorry, English is my second language. Actually, you know what? I just suck at remembering definition of words. I do that in French and English. Palpable. A feeling of atmosphere so intense that to seem almost tangible. Able to be touched and felt. Oh, okay. The irony is... got it. Okay, now I understand. Anyway, where I'm going with this is... So, in my corner of Earth, Diamond wasn't really someone that we weren't fans of. But for me, it's... I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, they did spread misinformation about COVID. They did try. They died on the hill for Trump. I hated that. Funny enough, you know how we all found out, or at least I found out about Diamond being dead through Trump, a tweet by Trump. And what's funny between a post by Trump on his whatever his network is called, but the difference between Trump's post and Bishop Talbert's post is. He used her real name. Up until this point, I never knew her actual name. Her full name was Lynette Hardaway. Bishop was disrespectful about his death, but at least he acknowledged her full name. Trump was just Trump. Anyway, yeah, and where was I going with this, man? I'll just fast forward to this whole thing has me thinking about. Why is it wrong to talk ill about the dead? How do we know that the dead aren't the lucky ones? Yo, okay, now I gotta be careful. Like, maybe I want to put warning. Like, if you have suicidal thoughts, if you're on that trip, that's not where I'm going with this. That's not why I'm like, you know. I need you to believe. I need you to believe. I need you to find or work on the belief that. Whatever you're going through at this moment, things will get better. I know that's hard. I'm not the person you want talking to, a person wanting to commit suicide, but this is me saying, yo, this ain't that conversation, man. Please don't use what I say B Black said I should kill myself, so I'm going to kill. B Black said killing yourself is good, so I'm going to kill myself. No, that's not what I'm saying, man. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. No. Not at all. I mean, if you make that choice, it's your own choice, but don't use me as your reason to make the choice. But with that said, where was I going with this? Yeah. Talking ill about the dead. Because this lady lived her life, made money, profited off Trump's bullshit. And now that she's dead, I got a lot of motherfuckers saying, oh, don't talk ill about the dead. Oh, come on. Don't, what's that word? Don't take pleasure in the death of your enemies and shit like that. I'm like, man, fuck that. I'm like, look, you do you. But for me, I'm like, come on. Homegirl didn't live a life an honorable life, and you want me to take, you want me to honor her while she's dead? Fuck that, man. I tell you what, when I die, you can talk shit about me. I most likely, I don't care about an afterlife, but yeah, here we are. So yeah, go ahead. Have fun. Talk shit about me. If I lived a life that benefited you, then, you know, I appreciate some compliments. The rest of y'all, yeah, man, feel free, man. Call me a nigga for all I care. Anyway, yeah. I forget. There's food waiting for me out there. Shit. Hold on. Let me try. I'm trying to sit comfortably here. Oh, god damn. I think I need a new chair, folks. Folks, if you're tempted to donate, yeah, I might need one of the ergonomics chair. Whew. Okay, I'm going to do something a little different here. I am going to raise this microphone. There we go. I think I figured something out. Yes. And then tighten it. You can't see this. I'm just raising my microphone. But this motherfucker won't tighten. Shout out to the people listening to me dealing with this fucking, oh, you know what it is? Oh man, what a way to find out that I bought shitty equipment. Oh no, sorry. Okay, I take it back. I was about to diss Long and McQuaid here, but nah, shout out to them. All right, this mic stand works. Okay, where was I? All right, check. You can still hear me? Yes? All right, okay. All I just did was adjust the mic stand because for some reason it was causing cramps in my solar plex. Yeah, by the way, I need to really need to join the gym. Okay, where was I? Yes, okay. Next topic on the rundown sheet, my MSG tweet. Okay, this is what happened, man. I was waking up minding my own business, and I came upon this tweet. It says, yeah, I pissed off a white dude. Did this motherfucker reply to me? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so some Twitter user named Kimchi Chit, she posted, do I follow her? She just, it showed up out of nowhere on January 9th. No, I don't. It just showed up on my timeline. She says, so frustrating to watch people argue and defend the subject to death. So frustrating to watch people argue and defend the subject to death that they know not much about. For the last time, MSG is not bad for you. Its myth is rooted in racism. I'll be honest, January 9th, 2023, up until that point, I did not know that MSG was not bad for you. I believed the white man. I believed the popular media. I believed when I saw a sign that said no MSG, I thought, okay, all right, the fight against MSG. Yeah, man. Damn, those Asians. Well, Chinese. Wait, is MSG an Asian dish or just Chinese dish? Anyways, damn them for bringing this delicious treat. And how did I respond to that? Yeah, my I responded with, I did not know that. I honestly did not know that. Now, I should be clear. I'm not the type to react off a tweet. I'm not that guy. You know, if someone said, hey, Earth is, quit believing Earth is sphere. That's a racist belief. Earth is flat. I'm not the guy who to be like, oh, shit, what? Another new racism. that joke made more sense in my head than it did out loud. But anyways, I'm saying I looked it up. I Googled it. And I remember seeing, I think I said MSG. I think I just put in MSG. And a lot of the headlines were about how, okay, let me just see. What do I get? First, it was a, what do you call that? Wikipedia link. And questions of death. Basically, a lot of articles about, hey, the myth, questioning MSG, blah, 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 and all that shit. And I'm like, it just hit me. It's just like in true white people fashion. It just made sense. It would make sense. In what I know about, look, okay, white people, you would benefit from white history. And not the white history that praises, that explains, that talks about all the great things y'all did, all your accomplishments. No, I'm talking about the accomplishments that made you look like assholes. The shitty things you did, the history of all the shitty things you did and the effects that it had on you. So as soon as I saw MSG's not bad for you, it's a myth rooted in racism, I'm like, of course it is. Of course it is. I would not be surprised. Like, I didn't have to do a full research to, because I just know, you know, I know white people. Anyways, so I responded with a tweet that I'm really proud with, and it says, I did not know that. This is one of those notions I got from white people. Yeah, I believe that. I'm laughing because someone reacted to it badly. It goes, to white people that I never looked into until I read this tweet and looked it up. Damn. First white Jesus, and now this shit. I just say now this, right? It's funny how I'm letting one person, like, I got 102 likes on this tweet, which is a record for me. Wait, 20,000? And shout out to the one person who, you know what? Hold on a second. Did I hit like on that? Shout out to the one person who laughed with me. Aw, where did it go? Aw, man. Anyways, there was a tweet where I guess it disappeared. That's what I get for not liking it. Anyway, yeah. So someone laughed at my post, and someone else just said I was a child in the 80s who heard that MSG nonsense. That's exactly what I was saying. Anyways, yeah. It was only when I did food studies. Oh, I didn't know that in high school, and that I found it was rubbish and based in racism in the 60s and 70s. It's naturally occurring in so many food, and I have had some powder in the kitchen to add when I need to. Yeah. Anyways, fuck it. I made it funny. Anyway, so someone white, guess the race, white, responded with, and I love it, true like white fragility fashion. He said, "You seriously? You know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna be that guy who reads tweets to you." The point is. Homeboy came back with a white fragility response. And, but you know what? Okay. I think the only reason why I'm really bringing this up, because homie just reminded me that even when you did, like, just this, like this podcast, one of my biggest fear of putting out this podcast is getting feedback from people who this podcast isn't meant for. People who don't understand the message. People who will intentionally take my message, go somewhere with this message where the message wasn't intending to take you to. Does that make sense? Tom Acey explains it better. He talks about a poem. Yeah, basically I'm talking about the color red, and your punk ass is heard the word genocide for some reason. Heard white genocide for some reason. Whatever, right? Like, all those people. And I guess I avoided podcasting, even comedy, podcasting, because of all the motherfuckers I know will hear what I gotta say and respond with that, you know, just basically motherfuckers who are just not going to understand, motherfuckers who weren't meant to hear what I have to say, what I'm talking about. And but yo, I guess in a way, what I'm appreciating about the response, this negative response that I got from this dude, is homie just reminded me that ain't no escaping this, man. If you're gonna create something, expect a hater, man. There's always going to be haters, man. Kanye talked about, okay, I'm not going to mention Kanye, but all your favorite artists talked about how, can tell you about how, yo, all the great artists could tell you about motherfuckers who were like, yo, this shit ain't going to work. Your shit is whack. And it's amazing how much energy we're willing to give these people. You know what I mean? Yo, shout out to everyone out there who creating art. And, okay, all of you, man, all of you, from those of you who are like, fuck the haters, and for those of you who are allowing the haters to get to you, because I kind of have hope that at some point you're going to snap out of it and be like, fuck the haters, like everyone else needs to do. Yo, this world ain't fair, man. This world ain't fair. Anyway, so all this to say, I'm not going to spend more time on this. What I will do is check the show notes. I read this piece to confirm about the myth of MSG. It's titled, came out on January 8th. Go figure. Anyways, How MSG Got a Bad Rap, Flawed Science, and Xenophobia by Anna Maria Barry Jester, filed under food. Anyways, yeah, man. Yeah, man. And shout out to the great country of China and their food. Well, okay. From what I understand, the Chinese food we get here is not really what they eat over there. It's kind of like junk food. But still, you have no idea. Look, man, when it comes to cuisines, on my top favorite list after Caribbean cuisine, fucking Asian dishes, man. Not just Chinese, Asian dishes. I'm like a big fan of Asian fusion restaurants, man. I'm the reason why they're still in business. Put all the MSG y'all need to put in that motherfucker. I don't give a fuck. Anyways, all right, okay. Hey, I'm getting close to finish here. Okay, great. All right, last random thought is I'm gonna end with the random thought. Then I get into deep thoughts with a quote that I got from Talam AC that I found for Talam AC. And if you don't know Talam AC, he's like my favorite poet out there. And he goes, you know, look at me, man. Oh, sorry. I had to click on, someone sent me a notification. Yeah, he goes, the portal to every next level is through the parts of yourself that you avoid. Let it marinate. Okay, I'm going to repeat that in case you didn't hear it. It goes, the portal to every next level, in order for you to get to the next level, is through the parts of yourself that you avoid. In a way, I kind of use this podcast to try to face the parts about myself that I avoid. Because if I share it with the public, then it's like, yeah, fuck it, man. It might be something that I'm ashamed of, but, you know, now that I've said it out loud, now I'm forced to deal with it. But here we are. That's the thing. All right. Okay. You know, I think I should have put a sound effect for that one, but it's too late for... forgot to pull up my sound effects machine. Okay. All right. Now, deep thoughts. Deep personal thoughts. All right. Okay. First, I want to start out with... shout out to my therapist. And there's something she was saying how... one of the last things she was telling me... Look, okay. Last thing she was telling me about how... No, this ain't like, you need to do this, you need to do that. But it was just... We were just having a discussion and that ended with... something about how you need to avoid hopelessness. I honestly forget the conversation, or I probably do, just don't want to like share it with y'all, but it ended with her saying how being careful about landing into hopelessness. And the first thing, okay, two things I thought about. One was this quote by Chuck. Fuck, I'm gonna fuck up his name. Palahniuk from Fight Club. He's a writer. Anyways, yeah. And this was freedom. Losing all hope was freedom. And tell you what, I'm going to play this clip from Fight Club. Now, a lot of you are probably thinking I'm gonna talk about first rule of Fight Club. Nah, that wasn't the part that got my attention about Fight Club. What got my attention about Fight Club was the main character and the depression he was going through. Like how the state of his mental health, how depressed he, yo, I feel like connected to that scene more than I should have, more than the director, the writers intended for me to, to have connected to. Everything else was like, whatever, I was indifferent to the rest of the, don't get me wrong, it was a great movie, you know, I even bought the movie, you know, it pisses me off, I bought the movie, so I'm gonna play a clip from the movie, but this is me saying, I paid for the motherfucking movie, I'm not gonna bootleg the whole shit, but, I'm gonna play the scene where our main character, shout out to Ed Norton, wait, is it Ed Norton, did I fuck up his name, man, am I fucking up another white man's name, hold on a second, is it Ed Norton? His name is Ed Norton. Ed Norton and what's funny is I didn't like Ed Norton as an actor. No, actually, I think what it is okay, let me make sure his name is Ed Norton. I think Ed Norton is a comedian. Oh, no, okay, Edward Norton. All right, okay. I didn't like Ed Norton at first because he was way too good in the movie American History X. And I went in watching Fight Club expecting to hate it. Oh, the only thing that saved it is because, what's his name? I'm really hungry because I'm forgetting names. And oh my God, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was in there. So that's what saved him. Anyway, so Ed Norton. So that scene where Ed Norton is in that men group and there are a whole bunch of dudes hugging each other. And here, I'm going to start playing it to try to situate it.
Diabinol.
Yeah, he meets Bob and he's in the middle of hugging Bob. And Bob is talking about how...
Oh, they use that on race horses, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, explain how he takes...
Bankrupt.
Okay, sorry. Let me explain how he's eating. Oh my God, fuck! Steroids. He's got steroids, and as a result, it caused him to have big tits. But anyway, here we go. This is the clip where they're hugging each other and they're sharing. And I think it's profound here, man. Here we go.
Forced. My two grown kids. I won't even return my phone calls.
Strangers with this kind of honesty make me go a big rubbery one.
Go ahead, Cornelius. You can cry.
You can cry. And then boom, Bob presses him and gets his big test, his chest. And they're all crying. Now I want to explain how, I want to point out how these are all men going through things. My therapist made me aware, like, a lot of men, okay, I talk a lot about, you know, my own issues, but a lot of men out there are going through what I'm going through. We just don't talk about it out loud. And this is me, yeah, being open. But, yeah, men are going through some real shit. This ain't a men's right. Yo, you women need to be more sympathetic to our cause. No, this is more like, motherfuck, fuck you fellas and your fucking, I don't need therapy. Oh, I can... tough out this shit. I'm going to use liquor as my therapy. I don't need to cry. Fuck y'all motherfuckers, man. Fuck y'all for making this life more difficult than it needs to be. So here we go. I'm only pointing out how this scene is meant to be comedy. Even though what Bob, the problem he's describing is shit that actual men go through. And it's causing them to want to, like, you know, I go to... not enjoy this journey we call life. Okay, here we go. All right, so where was I? Yeah, so there's Bob hugging, and Ed Norton's character is in, like waterboarding Bob at the moment. Taking this scene seriously. Here we go. Yes.
And then something happened.
Something happened.
I let go.
He let go.
Lost in oblivion.
Lost in oblivion.
Dark and silent and complete. I found freedom. Losing all hope was freedom. Babies don't sleep this well.
All right, okay. If you didn't hear, he says baby don't sleep this well, because the next scene is him sleeping. I remember mentioning Fight Club, and I was trying to explain Fight Club to this dude, and I used the word, oh, the main character is going through depression. And I think I mentioned the comedy aspect to it. But that dude, the guy I was talking to, had previous encounter with depression and was on Xanax. And I remember he was like, how the fuck is that funny? He really didn't like the idea of this movie. And I'm like, yeah, man, I wasn't trying to trivialize your experience, sir. I'm not mad at him, but but it just hit me. I'm like, yo. The word depression for some people is a real thing. So, my bad. Anyway, so in my case, oh, I guess I should mention that if you're one of those people, you might not want to. I really want people to be careful about this next topic I'm about to jump into. Like, this podcast might not be for you. All right, okay. Damn, I love to ramble on. Holy shit. Speaking of things I enjoy doing, So my therapist is like, you need to be careful with hopelessness. And I was thinking about, but there's comfort in hopelessness. I mean, don't get me, I know it's dangerous. It's fucking dangerous. But hopelessness is like, sometimes I think I'm like a functional hopeless person. There's functional alcoholics. There's functional heroin user, functional drug users. I think for me is I dabble in hopelessness, man. There's a level of comfort. Like, I just love this fucking scene. And Ed Norton for doing it. Like, I forgave him for American History X when he said that line. This was freedom. Losing all hope was freedom. And it's true. And it's true. Now, I get it. Call me a coward. Call me a bitch-ass nigga. Call me all the negative things. Fuck, holy shit, man. During my Christian days, I would have been mad at myself for saying that shit. But I'm admitting, and this is like I'm confessing the freedom in hopelessness. There is a certain freedom to not giving a fuck. And I don't mean not giving a fuck like the art of not giving a fuck like he intended to me. But I mean like, fuck it. Give it up. There's a freedom. Now, I'm not encouraging you to hang around people and expect them to appreciate or respect that about you. If you're going to go on a journey in hopelessness, you understand that it's a lonely journey. Keep that shit to yourself. It's the reason why I don't like to be around people who, it's not that I don't like to be around them, but I keep my mouth shut around people who are positive, who have a joie de vivre. I know to hold back, to not get high on hopelessness because I don't want to encourage them to take this drug. Look, the only point I'm trying to make is, look, man, the people who, if you're one of those people who found comfort in hopelessness, then you're very far away from finding solutions because you're already at, you're stuck. You're stuck in. Okay, look, I'm just saying, like any bad habits that's out there, smoking, whatever the fuck, cursing, whatever you consider a bad habit. In order for you to get rid of it, you need to acknowledge the fact that, or you need to finally get to the point of, I actually like this shit. There's a reason why I like it. Okay, you may not like the effect of terrible, but you need to come to terms. At least for me, that's how it works, man. It's like that quote I was saying initially by Talon Macy. The portal to every next level is through the parts of yourself that you avoid. Like, you need to confront the fact that you're enjoying this shit. You're enjoying this bad thing. I have a friend who is, actually, no, it's not just one friend, but every time I hear a friend complain about a behavior that they keep repeating, I'm trying to get them to say, okay, stop all the bullshit. Why do you like it? And they'll be, of course I don't like beating my wife. You know, I'm like, that's a really terrible example. It's actually an accurate example, but let's say you're doing shit that you know you wish you weren't doing. Okay, wife was a bad example. Yeah, fucking, I love eating junk food. I love not going to the gym. I love all this this maladaptive coping mechanism. You never admit to liking it. But the reality is something in you, there's a part, there's somewhere in there, there's a, the hopelessness, the bad activity is doing something for you because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be doing it. That's the core to, if you want to change a behavior, that's the core to it. Like, why the fuck is B Black talking about changing behavior? I'm not, you know, you know what I'm good at? I'm not good at changing the behavior. I'm good at figuring out why you're enjoying the behavior. It's like, I'm good at understanding why you enjoy losing. I can preach about that. I could talk your ears off about negative shit, why you enjoy that shit, why you like it. Yeah, no, I could get you to that point. And hopefully once you get to that point, you'll be like, okay, maybe I could substitute the reason why I smoke cigarette is because it gives me a sense of relief. Maybe I can replace smoking cigarette, get that sense of relief for something else. Yeah, I can get you to that point. But that's, you got to do that shit on your own. But yeah, no, I could just get you to the point of figuring out why you are doing this bad behavior. Okay, you know what? No, that's a lie. I can't get you to that point. You have to do it yourself. Because you're avoiding it. Look, I can't make you read what you don't want to read. I can't make you look at what you don't want to look, face what you don't want to face. You know, that's your choice. I could just say, hey, I could probably point it out and you decide to look at it. Now, speaking for myself here, it's funny how there's a contradiction. I'm in therapy. I'm trying to better myself. I'm trying to work on myself. But I can feel that part of me that's like, I kind of like this hopelessness. I'm kind of enjoying this. I know I'm paying you all this money to get me out of, to help me let go of this hopelessness, but you haven't made a convincing argument yet. I think what's going to happen is, God bless, you know, shout out to my therapist. It's a good thing that I'm paying her, because any other human would have quitted on me a long time ago. But I think what's going to happen is, because she's just talented that way, we're just going to have this conversation. She's just constantly repeating about, you could do better, you could do better, you could be do better, you could do better, you could be there. And at some point, I'm going to be like, you know what? I think I could do better. That's not our conversation, but it's at some point, I'm going to have that desire to be like, you know what? Sorry, Mr. Hopelessness. I'm calling it Mr. I'm gendering it as a male. Sorry, Mr. Hopelessness. Our relationship, we need to break up. It's kind of like, I'm thinking about the last shitty relationship I was in. And how in that moment, it was the greatest thing possible. I didn't know better, of course. I didn't know better. But yeah, I was in a terrible relationship. I was with a woman that all my friends hated. But the sex was good, folks. The sex was goddamn it was good. That's all I was focused on. But it was a terrible, dysfunctional relationship. And I remember believing there was problems, but I held on to it because it was like a drug, man. It was the benefit, the small, minute benefit I got from it was more important than anything else. Anything else in the world. You know, I know I'm not making sense to a lot of you people, and I'm surprised that you still haven't clicked off this podcast, but I know what I'm talking about. Maybe at some point when I snap out of it, I'm going to re-listen. I should write this one down. I'm going to re-listen to this podcast and turn this shit into a sermon or a speech. I don't know if I'm getting back into Christianity or a motivational speech or something like that, but I understand what I'm trying to say. I'm having a conversation with myself. I'm having an honest conversation, and the reality is I see the benefit in hopelessness. I see the danger in it, but at the moment, it's like, sorry, this is me pretending to jerk off here. Another thing that I noticed about myself is how I enjoy being fucking cynical. I was in a meeting. And the work meeting I was talking, the career development meeting I was in, it was actually designed for Black people, and I came in and my mind was just like, I wasn't thinking about human beings. I wasn't thinking about people who probably believe in who are actually trying to be helpful. This is like their attempt to make humanity better, and I didn't see it that way. I'm like, yeah, career mind. Look. It could be it could be either or whatever, right? But all I saw was, yeah, career advancement, bullshit. Let me put it this way. I'm 48 now. Holy shit, already. 48, and let me just say, Black people, I'm not going to make it in the promised land. I couldn't survive in the promised land because I'm way too cynical, way too negative. If I make it in the promised land, I'm going to look for problems. I'm the guy who walks there and the rest of y'all get in. But I'm like, yes, that's your Bible quote for today. I don't think I'm fit to be in the promised land because I enjoy my cynicism, man. It protects me. It's here's the thing. I guess cynicism protects me from disappointment. I guess my ability to handle disappointment just has gotten bad. But it is what it is. It is what it is. All right, okay. Now, before I talk about Wally and J. Cole, I'm realizing this is a perfect conclusion. Fuck, 52 minutes already? Damn, you talk a lot, B. Anyway, yeah, before I talk about it, I want to talk about a tweet that I shared. I promised I was going to do that. But it ties into the point that I'm making about, I feel it ties into the point I'm trying to make about hopelessness. Wait, what is the point I'm making about hopelessness? Why I would enjoy... I think the point I'm making is how this is a conversation. Sorry, the cough is coming up again. Oh, the dry air in this motherfucker. I got to turn on my humidifier. Okay, let me quickly make this point. Okay, so on Monday. Is it Monday? On, hold on. Oh, yeah, Monday. I was going to come back to work, and I really did not want to go back to work. And I posted something. I said, ever have a job, ever work a job that was so bad that if you could choose between not having to wake up versus waking up the next day, you choose not waking up? And I wasn't trying to be a smartass, but I remember playing with the thoughts of just, I was just thinking about how much I didn't want to wake up. Now, I can explain to you why I have these thoughts, but I won't. The people who understand what I'm trying to say, because I got one like from it, and I'm assuming that person liked it or was like, hey, don't jump over a bridge, B. But I know the point I was trying to make here about how, look, my job is not that bad, but I remember feeling how I really did not want to go to work the next day, and I wasn't joking. I remember how it's not as bad as this one job that I had where, it was so bad. I remember catching myself saying, if I jump in front of that fast-moving bus, I won't have to go to work anymore. Now, that I knew alarm were ringing. That's when I knew that, okay, yo, life is more than this fucking job. Quit this job. Like, it was in my 20s. I was more, you know, I was in my 20s, so I ended up quitting the job because, I mean, when you start having suicidal thoughts, it's time to start, you know, reconsidering, I guess, if you have the option to, but it's time to reconsider the job that you're doing. But, my heart goes out to all the people working shitty jobs and feeling like they can't do any better. But here we are. Anyway, some one person responded with someone who follows me on, I'm not even sure who this person is, but he responded with a tweet. His response bothered me, man, and I'll explain why. Initially bothered me. He said, you on your own with that one, pal. Now, it bothered me at first because it's the you are on your own with that one. It's like, no, only you believe that shit. That was my first instinct. I think this motherfucker's dissing me. And I was contemplating, the reason why it bothered me, because I was thinking about how either A, he doesn't understand what I'm trying to say, or B, which is more annoying, he doesn't have the ability to understand what I'm trying to say. And C, which is the worst one of them all, is he's just one of those people who are using what I say to convince themselves that he doesn't understand what I'm trying to say. Now, okay, now I want to be clear. I don't know this human being. I don't know what this person, their intention. For all I know, it might have been a joke or whatever. But his tweet just reminded me of all the times I would say something and, not understand the point of what I was trying to make. And, I felt it was like, I took his response as one of those, what? Who doesn't like their job? What the fuck? I can't relate to that shit. You know, in a way, it's a blessing if he can't relate to that thought. Maybe he's one of those people who just, rare people that I've met who actually love what they do. Shout out to you people. I'm envious of you people. Of you. And maybe he's one of those people who just, because he's a photographer, right? So I wouldn't be surprised. Photographer in LA. Something tells me he's successful. Anyways, yeah. But it just, I guess what bothered me is not being understood. Really, that's what the feeling of not being understood. That's what bothered me. And where I'm going with this is, as I'm talking about hopelessness and all that shit is, what was the title I put down? People who just don't get it. Yeah, when I'm talking about hopelessness, someone is listening to this and thinking that I'm talking about suicide. I'm talking about, what do you mean hopelessness? Like, okay. I'm going to be specific. I grew up in a Christian environment and surrounded by motherfuckers who never understood the question or didn't have the answers or couldn't understand the question. But it didn't stop them from offering a fucking answer. And a lot of them is bullshit. Like, I remember, a lot of people want to preach to you about shit they don't practice. They want to tell you things. No, when I'm talking about hopelessness, I'm trying to look at hopelessness from a perspective that's rarely looked at least in my circle. Hopelessness is one of those things you're not supposed to feel. And if you do feel it, then you're supposed to just snap out of it. And I'm the guy saying, fuck. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if y'all gonna diss me for it and whatever. I've just reached that point where I don't give a fuck. Losing hope was freedom. Losing hope gave me freedom. And I understand what I'm trying to say. Like, that message is not for everyone. Some people will misinterpret that shit, or well, it's like they'll take offense to the idea of you're not allowed to be you're not allowed to be hopeless. But I'm not that guy. I tend to analyze things. I tend to beat a topic, an idea to death. And you know, that's how I do, man. That's how my thought process works. And I believe other people's are like that. And shout out if you're one of those people, because this podcast is meant for you. All right. So, yeah, man. No, his response bothered me. Anyways, all this to say, to finally get to Wale the Pessimist. If you haven't heard the song here, you know what? I'm going to play it. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but... Ooh, you hear that organ? Oh, my God. And then there's a quote from Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, so there's still hope.
I don't want hope. Hope is killing me. My dream is to become hopeless.
When you're hopeless, you don't care. And when you don't care, that indifference makes you attractive.
There we go. And that indifference makes you attractive. Yeah. You know what? This episode, this entire episode is my interpretation or my version of Wale's song, The Pessimist. I enjoy that song by Wale, man. This is probably, by the way, this is the second episode. Actually, the last episode was on the Old Testament, on the older version of Shut Up Podcast. But this is the second time Wale did a song that I could do in a whole segment on it, that inspired an entire segment The Pessimist. Let me read the description because I'm to do it justice. He goes on Rap Genius. He goes, adding his voice to an incredibly talked about topic, Wale expresses a pessimistic view of the shit of the black community, the S of the black community. Yeah, whatever. He touches on black reality shows, family unity, and social disruption leading to incarceration. The thing about that song is I love J. Cole's track J. Cole's part in the chorus, and especially the part where he says, "I'm hopeless, hopeless, hopeless." That with the organ, look, when I'm talking about hopelessness, when I'm going through my pity party, when I'm feeling down, but don't want to get back up, like want to enjoy that moment in pessimism, which I don't encourage everyone to be in there. This is the soundtrack. This is the song I love having in the back. When I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling like near tears and shit like that, and it's just like I'm not looking for solution. I just want someone to like connect to what I'm saying. And this song, especially with the organ, it's like a warm blanket. You know who I feel? I feel like Ed Norton pressing my face against Bob's tits while crying, while listening to the song. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's really what I'm trying to say, man. It's yeah, man. Shout out Wale and J. Cole for this track because it's on repeat. Not all the time, but that's the song that just comforts me through. Like, you know, you don't have a song where, you know, after a breakup. But that's just me. That's just you. After a breakup, there's songs that you just listen to and you commiserate. Like, you know, your girl, your ex cheated on you or told you you ain't shit or told the world how. Or told her, you man, about your small dick. And you just want to feel bad for yourself. And you got that song that you can play. The pressure. Sometimes I like having those songs playing. And this song by Wale is the song that I play. And I want to clarify. It's a good song. Intentionally. But it hits me in the feels. In the emotion. All right. Now to jump to. Someone posted, asked a question against on Twitter. Yo, this podcast is all about me and my experiences on Twitter. Anyways, the question was, from Team Dreamville, at Team Dreamville. And he goes, what's the most relatable J. Cole song to you? And I had to jump in. Like, I stopped what I was doing. I was in the middle of diffusing a bomb, and I had to respond with, there's a lot of songs I love about J. Cole, but the first one that came to mind was Love Yours. And I said, And that song, J. Cole is preaching to me, especially when he reminds me with the message that ain't no such thing than a life that's better than yours. Now, I purposely brought up Love Yours by J. Cole because everything I was just talking about, hopelessness. This is me trying to end on a positive note. And this is me trying to say that as much as I understand my moment in hopelessness, that song makes me more hopeful. It makes me more appreciate what I got. And it makes me try to, it reminds me, it's a habit to, difficult habit to kick out, but it reminds me that, yo, they're living their life. Everyone else is living their lives. You need to live your own life. And whatever you have, whatever was given to you, you know, fat stomach, toxic relationship with food, bad health, shitty health. Okay, I'm going all negative here. An unpopular podcast, depression up the hill. That's your shit. That's the thing you got. Everyone's got their bullshit that they're dealing with. Like, people will act like they're living better lives than you and get on Twitter to talk about, oh, I can't relate to what it's like to have a shitty job. You know, they might do bullshit like that. Ignore them. That's your challenge. But I fucking love that message by J. Cole of him reminding you to be like, own your shit. It's yours. Love yours. Love what you got. Be grateful for what you got. I think there was a part of my life where I was complaining about how I felt like life just dealt me with shitty cards. And Jay-Z's got a lot of this, I guess, at least I know two tracks at least, where he talks about how he was given shitty cards and made the best of it. It's like, you know, look, man, there's a kid in, well, I was going to say Rwanda. Rwanda's doing better, right? But there's someone in the hood. There's someone who's got less than me. Born with less, but still precious, who's got less than me. And their happy meter is way higher than I am. Now, I'm not like them. It's going to be a while before I could get to that point because at the moment, I'm kind of enjoying being, you know, this moment of misery. Because I'm like, shit can't. I kind of enjoy believing that shit ain't going to get better. There's a certain couple. Yeah, sure. At some point, I need to snap out. Look, fuck it. This is where I'm at right now. I love that message. Yeah, man. Shout out to J. Cole, man. What's the chorus? How does it go? How does it say? It goes, ain't no such, I don't even have to look up the lyric. It goes, ain't no such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing. Oh, and one of my favorite words in there. Maybe that should be the title of this podcast. There's beauty in the struggle. There's beauty in the struggle, nigga. There's beauty in the struggle. Problem is, I don't want you to listen to the, you know what? Okay. There's beauty in the struggle. Yeah, that's what it's going to be, man. So shout out to J. Cole, shout out to Wally, man, shout out to hip hop, man. I love having these moments where tracks inspire me into some beautiful thoughts. So with that said, this concludes today's episode. Thank God, 'cause I'm hungry, of Shut Up Podcast 043. There's beauty in the struggle. Yeah. I don't know. It's something like that. It's going to be something like that. Don't be surprised if I change. Well, by the time this podcast is out, you're going to know what the title of this episode is going to be. But current version of Be Black doesn't know what the fuck its title is going to be. I think it's whatever. All right. This concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter. You can find me. Name is B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. And website is shutuppodcast.com. You can find my show notes and all the topic. I list all the topics discussed on there. You can subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website, or go on Google and Apple Podcasts. Hey, yo, thank you for listening. Seriously, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening. Well, mainly if you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.